Thousands of years have gone by since Adam and Eve's first sin, when God gave them a promise of a Savior who would win. Words from the Baby King, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas arch book. The Baby King would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Baby King. That's the Lutheran Public Radio Choir with the hymn On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. On this first, but second Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist is there on the stage. We're not only hearing about him, we're hearing from him. He is so important to the coming of the Messiah that all four Gospels put him there on the stage to announce, so to speak, the coming of the Messiah, to herald him, to prepare his way. The Old Testament predicts him. He is called an Elijah who comes to herald Christ's first coming in the flesh. And so it's probably a good idea that the church continue to listen to him, this last of the Old Testament prophets, this first of the New Testament prophets, and this final prophet before the fulfillment of all prophecy steps on that stage. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be going through the propers for this coming Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, with Dr. Carl Fekencher, and I invite your questions and your comments as well for the next hour. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Dr. Carl Fekencher, Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Second Sunday in Advent, we get to hear not only about John the Baptist, but from John the Baptist. What is his message?
Well, John the Baptist is a guy who causes a lot of emotional response, both in his first century live performance, but also when we hear his name these days as well. And that's because we really picture frequently John having a very fiery message, and that is not at all inappropriate. In fact, in Matthew's gospel, we hear him really calling out the Pharisees and Sadducees who come out to hear from him when great crowds, multitudes are coming down the Jordan River. He says to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come." He talks about how the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. And then he talks also about the one who is coming after him, who will separate the wheat from the chaff, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So when John comes on the scene, he certainly doesn't pull any punches. And when he, not too much later, is arrested and thrown into prison by Herod, it's because he calls Herod out. John the Baptist is a man who preached the law with power and with fire. And very often when we think about John the Baptist, that call to repentance, that fiery rhetoric, that very, very strong and clear preaching of the law is what comes to mind first. It's interesting to me, Todd, this hymn, the hymn of the week, Now on Jordan's Bank, is a beautiful hymn we'll hear more of, and it kind of makes the point that we'll be making through the propers this week. But there's another hymn about John the Baptist. In the hymnal, it was actually a point TLH, it was actually appointed not for Advent, although very appropriate this Sunday it would have been. Rather, it's for St. John the Baptist Festival. And there, when all the world was cursed by Moses, then it says St. John the Baptist came with words of consolation. What it's doing there is saying that Moses' words of the law from the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai were that same kind of powerful, biting, clear, and stern law that we identify with John the Baptist, but that John the Baptist came with words of consolation. So clearly, there is a message from John which is very, very different from the caricature that we picture of him when we only picture you brood of vipers who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. There will be fire, unquenchable fire, in fact. John did preach that, no question. But there is also a message from John the Baptist which is consoling, which is a word of consolation, a very sweet word of gospel. And this year, year B in the lectionary, as we look at Mark's gospel, we don't hear so much of that fire, but rather we see indications that that word of gospel really is ultimately John's predominant message. And as we look through the other propers of the day, we'll definitely see example after example after example where this second Sunday in Advent, this first of two John the Baptist Sundays, so to speak, is also absolutely a week, a Sunday of rich, sweet consolation of gospel. We'll see one example after another of that.
So take us, we're going to kind of flip things around a little bit. Ordinarily, the gospel reading is among the last of the propers that we get to, but you'd like to deal with it first.
Yeah, I'd like to set the stage for what John the Baptist is giving us, according to Mark, in the gospel reading for this coming Sunday, Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." As is often the case, Mark's account is rather lean, but with some specific details that are attractive. And you're right, Todd, as you mentioned, this is John's ministry is reported in all four Gospels, which is no small thing. It's sometimes surprising how few events or even people are reported in all four Gospels, and obviously the big ones from the cross and resurrection of Christ, and then other select ones, like the feeding of the 5,000 is in all four Gospels. And John the Baptist, likewise, along with a few others, is in all four Gospels. Mark's account is really the leanest, in a sense, especially in terms of the actual words of John, but we do hear the background of John and the characterization of the man. So it does a very nice job, Mark's Gospel does, of giving us the picture to envision. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's just the way Mark begins his book that we call the second gospel. And it is, of course, already a wonderful reminder that this book isn't going to be about John ultimately. It's about Jesus Christ. It always is. And Mark's use of the word gospel for his entire book, which certainly also includes law, is likewise a reminder that as we look and see what's going on, ultimately, we're always going to be seeing the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And John the Baptist's ministry is absolutely no exception to that. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, so what Mark does is not have John himself reporting those words from Isaiah chapter 40, as he does, for example, in John's gospel, but Mark simply reports already for himself, "Behold, I send my messengers before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness," this very familiar message we attribute to John the Baptist, "prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now, we'll hear that again in our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 40 in just a minute. But you see what Mark is doing. He's giving a summary of the ministry of John, his role. He's the messenger who will prepare the way for the Messiah. And he also gives the basic, simple message that John offers, "prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And then he goes on to elaborate how that way is prepared. He comes, John does, baptizing the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. absolutely did John preach repentance and all those fiery words that we hear in both Matthew and Luke's Gospels, the warning to the Pharisees and Sadducees is very much in play for all of us. John calls upon all of us to repent. There's no question that's a huge part of his mission. And along with that repentance then comes baptism for the washing away of sins. Great crowds were coming out, the text says, from Judea, Jerusalem, out to be baptized by John, and they were confessing their sins. And then Mark gives those details that are rather picturesque for us about John himself. He was clothed with camel's hair, leather belt, and of course that diet of locust and wild honey that is also delightfully affectionate to all of us. And then the only words that we hear John actually speaking in this gospel is the last portion. After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That, of course, is a prophecy of Christ, John's younger cousin, who will be coming on the scene very, very shortly. John's ministry was not really very long. Jesus would appear quite soon. And it's clear that John is promising Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, as one who brings wonderful, sweet gospel, baptizing us with the Holy Spirit. That will be fulfilled rather dramatically on Pentecost, when the disciples receive the Holy Spirit in a dramatic way. It's actually also, though, fulfilled in every single one of us in our baptisms when the Holy Spirit brings us to faith in Christ Jesus. That's wonderful, rich gospel actually already that we have for John's ministry as Mark reports it. But notice we don't have a lot of detail about what John said. And so in this year B, when we follow the Gospel of Mark and look at the other propers, we'll have the delight, I think, of filling in some of those details that are at least implied in what John's ministry was all about. And had we been there to hear all of John's preaching, we probably would have heard quite a few of the wonderful expressions of gospel that the other propers of the day give us. Todd, I'd like to just introduce my theme, and what we'll do as we go through the other propers the rest of our time together is complete it with some fill-in-the-blanks, if you will. Here's the way my theme is going to begin. Prepare the way of the Lord with repentance, for his coming is... dot, dot, dot. And that's what we'll fill in as we proceed. We know that John's message is to prepare the way of the Lord. We know that it is in repentance, and he's talking about the coming of Christ, the one coming after him who is so much mightier than he. The question that we'll fill in is just what is that coming of Christ all about? Prepare the way of the Lord with repentance, for his coming is dot, dot, dot. And what we'll ultimately see, as we always do when we see the whole scripture in its fullness, always fulfilled in Christ Jesus, is that even when the law is preached, and it is preached by John powerfully, we know that, in a fiery kind of manner, and it's very, very binding, nevertheless, ultimately the message that God, through his various spokesmen, has for us is not to be terrified and to despair of the fiery judgment that is coming and the powerful and stern law, which is very relevant to all of us, but ultimately the gospel that Christ Jesus, the one that John proclaims, brings. So we're going to fill in a whole lot of gospel words from all of our propers, beginning with that premise that this is what the Christ is coming to do as a result of John's prophecy.
We're looking forward to the second Sunday in Advent. We have dealt with the gospel reading. When we come back, we're going to back up and go to the beginning of the service to the propers we find there, the introit and the collect, and then the other readings, ending with, well, the second part of Dr. Fikencher's theme. Dr. Carl Fikencher's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During December, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to our Ministry of the Month, Ministry Focus. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at LutherAcademy.com. LutherAcademy.com and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/LutherAcademy.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptists Cry. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Our guest as we look forward to the second Sunday in Advent is Dr. Carl Fekencher, chairman of Preach the Word. It's a project that helps pastors work together to improve their preaching through video modules with the accompanying resources by interacting with seminary professors and their fellow preachers. You can learn more at lcms.org/preachtheword, lcms.org/preachtheword. Dr. Fekencher, the introit for this coming Sunday, what is it?
Okay, it's going to be from Psalm 80. And as we hear it, keep in mind the thing we're looking for all the way through the Proverbs. We're going to prepare the way of the Lord, as John calls us to do, with repentance, repenting of our sins, for the Lord's coming is a whole lot of wonderful things we're going to hear about that really are the reasons why we turn away from sin and trust in Christ Jesus. So that it's not just a matter of terror at the coming of Christ and at the words of John the Baptist. Psalm 80, selected verses read this way. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. You brought a vine out of Egypt. It took deep root and filled the land. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And again the antiphon repeated, Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Clearly, Psalm 80 gives us one magnificent gospel word, which is very, very rich. And if you're scoring at home, well worth writing down as the first element to complete our theme. The psalmist prays that God would restore us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. The coming of Christ brings restoration. That is to say, we who have deserted God, who have broken our relationship with God, who have wandered away from God by our sin, have been restored in that relationship by the coming of the Messiah, by Christ becoming one of us, taking our sin upon himself, and ultimately taking our sin to the cross. That restored our relationship with God, which we might add, actually also restores us in all the blessed aspects of being human, which God intended when he created humanity in perfection, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Our sin has destroyed also our very humanness, the way God intended for us as human beings to be, but Christ, taking away our sins, has restored that. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. See that wonderful restored relationship with God that is pictured as his face shines upon us. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. God does not abandon his people when they have fallen into sin, but continues to lead us in that same kind of wonderful relationship being described as a shepherd caring for his flock. Even the history of the Israelites in Egypt, you brought a vine out of Egypt. It took deep root and filled the land. When God's people were in exile, when they were in slavery, God did not forget about them, but restored them to freedom and to a land of their very own, the land that God had promised to Abraham centuries before. Restore us, O God of hosts. That's the first wonderful gospel expression of many that we'll see in the propers for this second Sunday in Advent.
The collect, well, last Sunday the collect was, stir up your power, O Lord. Today it begins, stir up our hearts, O Lord.
Yeah, the stir up we've talked about, of course. This is the second of three stir up collects. The fourth Sunday of Advent, we'll have another one. And you've picked up a really significant thing there, Todd, because there is a progression. It's not stir up the same thing each time. Last time, stir up God's power. We pray that he would do that. Now this time, we're asking him to stir us up. Stir up our hearts, O Lord. Because remember, this week, we're talking about preparing the way of the Lord with repentance. Repentance is something of which we ourselves are incapable. We cannot turn ourselves around. We cannot embrace God again. It's only when God stirs us up that we then can make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's, of course, once again, by Christ's coming that we are actually also ready to, enabled to make ready the way of the Lord. And that is a matter of repentance, of putting aside the sins that have separated us from God, the sins to which we by nature cling, and instead trusting that God will deliver us. So now we're asking God to come and work in our hearts to make possible the very things that we pray would happen, our preparation for Christ's coming.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 40. Now, this is going to be very familiar Advent territory.
Yeah, and perhaps, Todd, we might start it here and work a little bit through it and come back even after the break if you'd like, because this is beautiful, beautiful territory. I'll read all the way through it, and then we can talk about some and maybe a little bit more. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11, it's familiar in many ways because of beautiful hymns that we have of this text, and also of the words we've already heard from our gospel reading in Mark chapter 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. This is a hugely significant moment in the book of Isaiah. It probably begins the most significant turn in the book from the first chapters, which are primarily law, lots of wonderful gospel in there too, but the message primarily about the disasters that are coming to God's people. After an historical interlude in the middle chapters in the late 30s, at the end of chapter 39, there's the word about a coming captivity in Babylon. And so as chapter 40 begins, Isaiah is inspired by the Holy Spirit to look down the line, at least a century into the future, and see a time when God's people of Judah will be carried off to captivity in Babylon. And the Holy Spirit enables Isaiah to see that so that already now he can bring comfort to the people who will be experiencing this. When that time comes, when the people of Judah are carried off to captivity in Babylon, it will be a time of despair, a time when they are very, very much aware of how sinful they have been and the reason that disaster has come upon their nation. And those who are faithful will at that time repent of their sins and cry out, hoping, praying that the disaster is not the final word. And it's not, and it never is, as God in Christ always comes to us with the word of gospel that overwhelms the preaching of the law. Here it begins with those beautiful words, comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. We know the beautiful hymn, comfort, comfort, ye my people, a magnificent Advent hymn, which undoubtedly all of us will sing at some time in the next Sunday or two or three or Wednesday evenings, beginning very, very soon. Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Can't you hear the tone of God's voice speaking through the prophet? Cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The time of suffering is now past, the warfare over, the sins that brought on disaster, even captivity, being carried away from their homeland to a distant land, likewise is pardoned. And how very relevant this is for all of us. Remember, Isaiah is looking down the line, not to his own time only, but even a century into the future. And by no means does it stop at that. But it really looks 27 centuries into the future, when each one of us, time and time again, will feel the burden of our sin, we'll feel the suffering that comes of living in a sinful world that brings oppression against us. And God speaks also to us so sweetly, comfort, comfort. Her iniquity is pardoned. All the suffering that was going to have to happen has happened. It's all over. And now there's magnificent joy coming up. So, Todd, let me collect a couple of thoughts right here. Remember, we're looking for those words of gospel that will complete our theme. We've seen restoration. But the coming of the Lord is also comfort, and it is pardon. Magnificent words of gospel.
Dr. Carl Fekencher is our guest, professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We are looking forward, as we do every week, to this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent. A few more thoughts on Isaiah 40, and then we'll move on to the revival that is found in Psalm 85.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features issues that center a guest, Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
The third stanza of the Advent hymn, On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Dr. Carl Fekencher is our guest, professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, you had, I think, further thoughts, did you not, on the Old Testament reading?
I do. There's so much going on here. Verses 3 through 5, that's the familiar portion that we've heard also in our gospel lesson. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And this portion of the Old Testament lesson is immortalized for us in Handel's Messiah. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain hill. I could sing a little more of it, Todd, but we'll leave it at that. Every hill and every mountain made low, the uneven places shall become level, the rough places a plain. And what we're saying here is that nothing is going to stop the coming of the Lord. He is going to come. That's irresistible. That's why we prepare for it. But lest we should be terrified at his coming, let us remember that he's coming in gospel love and deliverance for us, in comfort, in pardon, in restoration. And in verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The glory of the Lord could terrify us, but when Christ comes as our Savior, then the glory of the Lord is some of the best good news that we'd ever want to hear and ever want to see. The next portion of the Old Testament lesson, a voice says, cry. I said, what shall I cry? And there's that expression of the kind of futility that we are experiencing in this world. All flesh is grass. Its beauty is like the flower of the field that fades away. We realize that this does accurately describe our lives as fallen people living in a fallen world. We are going to fade away. And so we're looking for hope. We're looking for help. Verse 9, though, the help comes. Go up on a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Don't be afraid of what's coming. Say to the cities of Judah, behold, your God. He comes with might. His reward is with him. His recompense is with him. The announcement, right when we're at the lowest ebb, when we realize how futile our lives are, how we will wither and fade away like grass or flowers of the field, then the word comes to shout out on Zion, good news. Say it twice, good news. Don't be afraid. Here comes your God. Good news, of course, is a wonderful gospel term that should go on our list for our theme this week. In our hymn on Jordan's Bank, we have the same truth expressed as glad tidings. The coming of the Lord is good news. It is glad tidings. Why? Because his reward is with him, his recompense before him. That for us also, for us who are in Christ, who have been forgiven by the death and resurrection of Jesus, is all good. The reward, not for something we have earned, but what Christ has earned for us by his death on the cross. Recompense, not the payback for our sins, which have been taken away, but rather the recompense of glory, of honor, of blessing that comes because we are in Christ Jesus. So add those words, reward, recompense, to our list of good news words in our propers this week. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. We saw that relationship restored in our intro it, and once again now here in our Old Testament lesson. He will carry the lambs in his arms, he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. There's a wonderful picture of the gospel as he tends us as a shepherd cares for his flock. It's a magnificent Old Testament lesson. It really is one of those quintessential prophecies that characterize Advent so beautifully. Isaiah 40 verses 1 through 11, our Old Testament lesson coming for this coming Sunday, rich in gospel.
What do we find in Psalm 85, the appointed psalm for this coming Sunday?
Lots more gospel words. Here we go. Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. We've heard that word already. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sins. We heard that pardon from Isaiah, the Old Testament lesson. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger, the very message of comfort, comfort that we heard a moment ago. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Two more wonderful gospel words or phrases. Steadfast love. The psalmist reports that we have sinned. We deserve God's indignation, his anger toward us. But we pray that he would revive us again. And his steadfast love is such that he does. That even as we turn away from him, he turns to us, sending his son Jesus Christ, whose coming exhibits God's steadfast love and is our salvation. Steadfast love and salvation. Magnificent gospel words. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak, one of my favorite gospel words, he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not return to folly. Let them repent of their sins, rather. Surely his salvation, their salvation again, is near to those who fear him. That glory, we heard that wonderful gospel word in Isaiah chapter 40, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. One more magnificent gospel word to add, righteousness. It's that word that so terrified Luther when he thought that the righteousness of God was the standard that we had to live up to and against which we would always fall short. But when Luther realized that the righteousness of God is given to all who have faith in Christ Jesus, then we realize how beautiful that gospel word is. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. The Lord will give what is good. Our land will yield its increase. More wonderful gospel words in our psalm.
Then we come to the epistle reading, which is 2 Peter chapter 3.
2 Peter chapter 3 again has those words of fire and those words of warning. And as we first read it, we may think that's all that's here. But listen carefully, and we'll hear wonderful gospel here as well. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This certainly could be one of the epistle lessons for the final Sundays of the church year as we're looking toward the end of the world and Judgment Day that we discussed just a couple of weeks ago. There is that word of things being burned up, the world being dissolved, set on fire, the heavenly bodies melting as they burn. That's a vivid picture, and that very much coincides with the kind of fiery law that we hear John preaching in Matthew and Luke's Gospels, that unquenchable fire that will burn up the chaff. And certainly, again, that is absolutely relevant because as Christ comes, we must be ready. We must be prepared for that day. And John came to do nothing other than that, to prepare us by calling us to repentance. But again, as we look, we see that Peter, too, has in view not our ultimate destruction, even as the earth and the works that are done will be exposed and the heavenly bodies will melt away. But look how Peter reads. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. If it takes what seems to us like 1,000 years or more than that for the Lord to come back, it is still always a promise that we are looking forward to. Not his coming to destroy us, but his coming in comfort, in pardon, in promise. Verse 13, according to his promise, we are waiting for what? New heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, for the new heavens, the new earth, the promise of God, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. What a magnificent promise it is to picture new heavens and a new earth. That somehow, when this world ends, it is not the end for us. It is not our destruction, but it is rather our initiation, our welcome, body and soul, raised again to enter new heavens and a new earth. And so in our gospel, in our epistle lesson, rather, we have more wonderful gospel words. Let's add to our list the word promise and the phrase new heavens and new earth, also rich gospel. And Todd, when we come back, once more I'd like to go to the gospel reading and see how all of these fit together and even add one word that we went quickly past that is so crucial also to that gospel reading from Mark chapter 1.
Dr. Carl Skencher is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon. We are looking forward to Sunday morning. Folks, we are 20 days away from Christmas Day. Can you believe it? And I've got a great gift suggestion for a child, a grandchild, or a godchild, ages 5 to 9. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December. It's a children's Christmas book called The Baby King. It's the latest in the very popular Arch book series. Check it out at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The book is called The Baby King. Stay tuned.
The Reformation and Luther definitely moved the Western world toward the idea of religious freedom for the individual conscience.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Be proud of that, for Pete's sake. You know, this crazy world thinks everybody should be free to define him, her, or there, or itself in any way they want. That is crazy. But it was the Lutheran Reformation that advanced, initially, enormously, the idea that the matter of one's beliefs is a matter between God and the individual, not the state.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at our 2017 Making the Case conferences on an audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 year-end tax-deductible donation. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
This Christmas, bring your family and friends to experience a reenactment of the Christmas story and Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Enjoy a live nativity, warm drinks and cookies, and live music performed by student groups.
From 5 to 8 p.m. on December 22nd, come to Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois to enjoy this Christmas experience for all ages.
Admission is free, and when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a custom piece of art made by our students.
For more information,
call 618-656-0043.
Merry Christmas!
The Advent hymn on Jordan's Bank, The Baptist's Cry, the fourth stanza sung by the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. We'll be studying this hymn, by the way, Friday this week on Issues Etc. with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, the second Sunday in Advent. Dr. Carl Fakencher is our guest. So you wanted to take us back and rewind a little bit and collect some things together.
Yes. The gospel lesson, as we began, once again gave us the picture of John the Baptist on the scene. And we said from the beginning, we often picture John primarily as that fiery preacher of repentance, calling us to recognize our sin, as he certainly did the Pharisees and the Sadducees in both Matthew and Luke's gospel. And of course, that is so very important. It's such a relevant element of John's preaching. There's no question about that. He calls us to repentance, and the baptism that he proclaims, Mark's gospel says, is a baptism of repentance. There was no coming to be baptized by John thinking you were going to remain in your sin. I like my sin, but I want a little drivel on top of that. That's, of course, what he condemned the Pharisees and the Sadducees for. His message absolutely calls us to repent of our sins, and Advent is a time, on John's warning, when we look closely at ourselves and we see our sinfulness and we realize that we could never receive Christ the way we are by nature. But we've also seen again and again and again throughout the propers magnificent words of gospel. And sometimes people even ask the question, did John just call people to repent, or did he actually preach the gospel? There's no question that John also preached the gospel. And it's already here in our gospel reading from Mark 1, 1 through 8, when Isaiah the prophet announces through Mark what this man John will do, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, bring us to repentance. But again, verse 4, John appeared baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. With all the magnificent gospel words we've been hearing, we'll go back through all of them in just a moment. With all of those magnificent words of gospel we've been hearing, it really always still centers in the forgiveness of sins, the removal of the sin that separated us from God, that would have stood between us and God and would have prevented us from receiving any good things, any good news, any glad tidings, any glory from God, any righteousness from God. All of these things would have been as separated from us as the East is from the West. But now instead, because Jesus came and died on the cross for us, the sins are taken away from us as far, Isaiah says, as the East is from the West. The forgiveness of sins is what sets in motion all of the blessings that God has in store for us, and they are so many, many. And of course, we know the forgiveness of sins is always in the perfect life, then the atoning death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what John came on the scene announcing, that mightier one than he, the strap of whose sandals he was not worthy to stoop down and untie. He would baptize with water, but Jesus, when he comes, will baptize us with the Holy Spirit, the very baptism that every one of us has received with water and the Word into the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, so that we stand before God now in the forgiveness of our sins. And let's go back and recap all of those magnificent words that we've been hearing through the propers and look at each one of them again for just a moment or two, and that will complete our theme for this second Sunday of Advent. We began again, prepare the way of the Lord with repentance, for his coming is. And if you've been noting them at home, here they are. Prepare the way of the Lord with repentance, for his coming is restoration, comfort, pardon, glory, good news, glad tidings, reward, recompense, steadfast love, salvation, peace, righteousness, promise, new heavens and earth, and tying them all together, forgiveness. When Christ comes, he comes to restore our relationship with God, the relationship that was broken by our sin. What more magnificent comfort could there ever be for us when we are facing whatever trials and burdens and sufferings we experience in this life? Our sins have been pardoned. We've been declared not guilty, in spite of how sinful we realize we really are. God says, no, you've been pardoned. Those sins have been put away as far as the East is from the West. Glory. God's glory doesn't come and destroy us now because we've been forgiven of our sins. Now we see God's glory and know that he is our champion coming in his might, in his glory for our salvation. Good news. What better great news could be than this? Glad tidings, as our hymn of the week declares them to be. Reward, again, not because of something we've earned, but because of what Christ has earned for us. And it is rightly called our reward as people who simply receive that passively by faith, what Christ has done. Recompense, not getting back at us, not giving us what we have deserved for our sins, but rather giving us the blessing that Christ has deserved and earned by his death on the cross. Steadfast love, all our sins could never put God off so that he would stop loving us or give up on us. That's why he sent his son. Salvation, such a basic word, being saved from every attack of Satan and his minions. Peace, that wonderful word of reconciliation with God, which means when we're back together with God, all things ultimately are right. Righteousness, we have his righteousness. Promise, Christ's return is not something we fear, it's something we look forward to. New heavens and a new earth, when Christ does return at the end of time, because he came to us humbly, went to the cross the first time, we look forward to living body and soul in a perfect new creation that God has for us for eternity. All because of forgiveness, the forgiveness that Christ earned on the cross. Prepare the way of the Lord with repentance, for his coming is restoration, comfort, pardon, glory, good news, glad tidings, reward, recompense, steadfast love, salvation, peace, righteousness, promise, new heavens and earth, forgiveness, and all of that, Todd, we have to look forward to this coming Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to find out why Pastor Hans Feeney says that if voting for Roy Moore for Senate is the lesser of two evils, it's still evil. We'll also get a bio on the real St. Nicholas, Nicholas of Myra, with Dr. Joshua Hayes. All these things are wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. This is why John the Baptist is featured so prominently preparing his way, because he is there to announce to us the great news, the better news, that is coming in Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your children are God's good gift to you. That's why St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, is committed to providing pre-K to 8 education founded in Jesus Christ. St. Paul is the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area. Matins and math, Latin and logic, orchestra and oration, catechesis and capture the flag are among the good gifts St. Paul would love to help you give your children. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org.